Blog Talk Radio.
Dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Christians, non-Christians, and whoever you are out there, I welcome you to the Andrew Shatkin Show, the Blog Talk Radio Show, on every evening, either 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. And in this show, you will get the facts and the truth and nothing but the facts and the truth. That's as much as we want to talk about things in this show. You will not get media propaganda. You will not get the big lie. You will not get false information. You will get, we attempt by the use of our critical faculties to get at the facts and get at the truth. That's what this show is all about. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the subject of lawyers. I myself have a law degree and have practiced law. I have to tell you that lawyers have a negative public perception about them. And I'd like to talk about why I think we need lawyers and why very much we need lawyers desperately and significantly. That's going to be the topic for tonight, and I'm going to go into my background as I usually do, because I think you should know and expect what you're going to get from me in this show and what you're going to hear. First of all, this is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for media hype. We don't go in for media falsehoods. We don't go in for lies. We try to get at the truth by honest discernment and intellectual honesty. We are not interested in media propaganda. We're not interested in the big lie. We're interested in getting at the facts and getting at the truth, and that's about it. How do I attempt to get at the truth? Through the mode of my believing Christian faith, which I believe to be the true faith, and by reading great books such as Milton's Paradise Lost, Tolstoy's War and Peace and Resurrection, and Anna Karenina, and T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, John Bunyan, his book of Pilgrim's Progress, and his very great spiritual autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. Now, the second thing is that I'm a Christian, and I'm not about to change that view. Being a Christian for me involves the basic commitment to believe that Jesus is God. Unless you believe that Jesus is God and performed these miracles and rose from the dead and offers eternal life, you can go to the church, but if you don't go along with those concepts and ideas, you're wasting your time. You may have other ideas about what you want to believe. Could be the Lions Club. Could be Jesus is a nice fellow. Whatever you want to believe. But you're not going to be a member of the church without believing these facts, these factors and these concepts about Christ. That's who he is. He's God. He claims to be God. And that's about it. As much as you can understand what he is and who he is. This is an essential component of the Christian faith. It's basic. And if you don't believe that Jesus is God, did miracles, rose from the dead, and offers eternal life, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, you're wasting your time. You may have interesting things to learn in Lions Club or in ethical culture or in your local synagogue or in your Hindu temple. You could learn some things there, but you will not partake of the Christian faith in those places. And they're fine. Go for it. Go what you want to believe. But if you want to be a Christian, you have to believe Jesus is God and adopt that position wholeheartedly and truly. He made the claim. He said it many times, and it cannot be evaded as his statement of his nature. I have a Christian, and I run a Christian show, but I welcome all faiths and all belief systems. For me, Jesus died for all men and women. Gay men and women, Hindu women, Islamic men and women, etc. He died for all. He offered his life for all. And that is who he is and what he is about. And for me, the face of Christ and his love can be found in every religious system and every person in the world. I welcome them all, Hindu, Muslim, Shinto, gay, whoever they are, I welcome them in the love of Christ. Jesus welcomes them. He welcomes, as it said in Timothy, in the very quote I'm very fond of quoting in Timothy, Jesus wills that all men be saved and be with him in heaven. That is his unequivocal statement of St. Paul in his letter to Timothy. He wills that all men and women be saved. And he also says, more important, I am the resurrection of the life. He will believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live and will never die. That is the gospel. That is Jesus. That is what he promises. And that is what I believe. Next, you should, I am a Christian. And third, I have a political position, basically conservative to some extent. Not entirely, because I'm very concerned with Jesus' concern for the poor. He was accused of identifying with the poor. It was said to him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? His followers were so-called sinners, moral law sinners, ritual law sinners, whoever they were. He identified with poor and poverty. He himself lived a life of poverty. And he said to the rich young man, how can I gain eternal life? He said to him, you must give away your goods, and the man couldn't do it. So that's about it. Jesus identifies with the poor. He says they're blessed. I don't think Jesus wants people poor, nor does God want people poor. And particularly Jesus doesn't want people poor. Therefore, you have to understand his statement, blessed are the poor and poor in spirit, to mean that for their sufferings in this life, they will be blessed in the next. That's what he means, I think, nor is what he's driving at. He doesn't say people should be poor or wants them poor, but he says this much about poverty, that it can be a barrier to faith and spirituality. He makes that statement a number of times, and that poverty, that money can be a barrier to faith. Next, I'd like to tell you that I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. And these shows have a Christian component. And many, many people from all over the world, particularly over 4,300 people from 80 countries, have visited this podcast show. And many, many non-Christians and non-Christians alike have visited that show. And the same is true of my blog talk radio show. Many Christians and non-Christians alike. And I'm very happy that my dear Muslim friends in Saudi Arabia have visited this show. And I have an Iranian philosophy student who I'm dear friends with who picked up and was interested in my Christian books. And she read them. She was interested, which indicates to me the essential intellectual ability of most people. And Muslims are no exception. They have intellectual ability. They are smart. And they're ready to read. And you have to, and let me say this. Without books or without reading, you will be doomed. Our society will be doomed without books. Books are the route to knowledge. They're the only way to gain knowledge, true knowledge. You will gain nothing from the New York Times, The Economist, from the New York Post. You will gain zero from those places. You will gain a great deal from the Bible, a great deal. And therefore, I tell you, my dear friends, young, old, read the Bible. Because in the Bible is the truth, is the route to truth. And I say this again, books are the mode to truth. Without books, our society sinks into darkness, where this is the present situation in our society. Because ignorance is so extensive and so embedded, because of the failure to read books, we are moving into darkness and a kingdom of darkness, which Satan will rule. The world has always been in darkness, but it's sinking further and further down for the reason I gave. Next, I have to tell you that I am a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, 2 legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables. I recommend reading the parables, all 41 in the Gospels. They are great, great thought channels of God and his thinking, because Christ is God, and he's the one that utters the parables. and he gives us this information in these parables. The parables are very, very profound and deep and very compelling. I recommend reading them because I recommend reading the Bible. And don't stop reading the parables. Read them 100 times because you can't read them more than you are able to. They are so great and so important. Lately, I have also written a book on the Psalms, of 150 Psalms. And this book is the Psalms for me are great literary treasures of Hebrew Jewish poetry. They are great literary treasures. They are wonderful pieces of lyric poetry. I can't stop reading them for that reason. And I say to you that they are great spiritual treasures. They are the voice of God in Christ as he speaks to us in his word. They are great literary treasures. They are great spiritual treasures. You can't read them all. You can't read them enough. You can't read them often enough. You can't read them often enough. They are so great. Whoever wrote those, that lyric poetry, was some kind of genius. Let me tell you that. Whoever wrote the Psalms was, in fact, a literary and spiritual genius. That's why when I say to you read these books, you are reading the works of geniuses of the past. If you don't want to know about geniuses or have nothing to do with them, that's your decision. You'll end up with the New York Post, which is a waste of time entirely. Next, I have to say that I've written other books. I'm writing books on my 4 blogs, literary, philosophical, theological, and political. That'll be 4 books there. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written 1 chapter of that. I'm writing a book on the book of Job. Eventually I'll write it. I haven't got around to it, but I'll do it. And this book work on the, and my work on the book of Job will be very informative. Job is a great book in the Bible. It reveals God's trials put on an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish. He came from a Greek-speaking culture. He was an Edomite, but God tried him and tried him and tried him with trials and tribulations. The book of Job is a great thing to read. It's a wonderful book to read. And along with the Psalms and the parables, you can't stop reading the book of Job. Next, I have written a chapter on paternity in the legal topic of paternity in New York Family Law and Practice, published by West. I've written a chapter on New York jurisprudence, on New York criminal law demands and notices, a legal encyclopedia. I've written a legal encyclopedia article on that. I have written three law review articles in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure and on an Albanian scientific journal, Academicus, on the United States educational system and its failure for our young people. We're in real trouble unless this educational system is reformed to bring in the great past. Books of the past, it must be reformed to bring in the great books of the past. Without the past, we are in darkness and ignorance. The past is essential to understand anything about what's going on in this world. Without a knowledge of history, without a knowledge of past, we are doomed to ignorance and darkness. If you want that for your kids, that's fine. Go for it. Be aware that if you want that to be your legacy to your children, be warned what could happen in the future where ignorance and darkness and lack of knowledge is on your young people's plate. And that's all they know. Next, I have written a book, 2 articles in Academicus, in Albanian Scientific Journal. These articles are in the United States educational system, which I critique it, and on sex orientation discrimination, which I oppose. As I say, I am a Christian, and I oppose abortion, and I have to say that within the church, outside of the church, I have no issue with gay activity, but in the church, I believe there's an issue. And I have no prejudice, let me put it this way, I have no prejudice or hatred to our gay brothers and sisters. I want them to be with me and everybody I know in heaven. I want them to understand that Timothy says, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, He wills, God wills that all men and women be saved, whether gay, whether Edomite, whether Jewish, or whether Christian. He wants them all to be with him in the joy of heaven. And as I say, I very much oppose discrimination in any form against any group, whatever. Next, I'm going to go on the subject of why I think lawyers are important, which is the subject of this broadcast. Legal profession in the United States, let's take a look at it, largely consists of very large law firms, which are composed of a fairly large number of partners and an even larger number of associates. And some have simply in-house legal counsel. Some businesses have in-house legal counsel. So law firms are composed of a fairly large number of partners who own the business or have some equity share in the business, and consist of a larger number of associates, which are simply working lawyers, usually young, and some businesses have in-house legal counsel. And these firms, these very big, important firms, I guess they're important, I don't know, because they have a lot of money. I don't know if that makes anybody important, but they wield some power. Well, these form and corporate counsel function to service the extremely large business sectors of the world. So these firms and corporate counsel and business counsel service the extremely large business sectors of society. And the way these firms work, they do service the very extensive business corporations in our society, and the associates in these firms, not partners who have an equity share, function to produce billable hours at a very large hourly rate of between $200 and $500 an hour to create profits for these law firms, which submit these bills to their business clients. So these firms and corporations counsel service the corporate sector, and the associates in these firms function to produce billable hours at a very large hourly rate between $200 and $500 an hour to bring profits to these law firms, which submit these bills to their business clients. The partners in these law firms have become so, I think, I don't know how much you can prove about it, through the investment of money in the firm, or through some family or business connection, or through their ability to bring in corporate clients. So the partners have gained that equity share, that ownership share, through the investment of money in the firm. That's one way. Or through a family or business connection, that's another way. Or through their ability to bring in corporate clients, that's the third. Whether they are actually talented or good lawyers is not the requirement. It's not really required, since they are in these very large firms for one of the reasons they indicated, which is they have invested money, or they have family connections, or they bring in corporate clients. They don't have to be talented. They may be talented businessmen, but they don't have to be talented as lawyers. It's the corporate, the associates that do the work. So they don't really require legal ability to be a partner. The partners in these law firms and corporate counsel as well, they obtain government positions at times. Maybe they become a judge because of their position, their power in that law firm. They may obtain significant government positions. In short, there may be a kind of power or money exchange between corporations, government, and very large law firms. Thus, most of the legal profession consists of these associates and partners, most of them. And the partners in these law firms may, in fact, obtain government positions of a very important character, and they may even get to be a judge. In short, there may be a kind of power or money exchange between the corporations, government, and very large law firms. So most of the legal profession consists of these partners and associates who do the legal work. But there are other kinds of lawyers, thank God, in this society, much smaller in number, But you have a great deal of power that these law firms and corporate counsel I've just spoken of have. They're independent lawyers in their own firms of their own creation who seek to represent individuals and enforce their rights. These are a smaller number of lawyers, and they are, shall we say, are smaller in number. They have less power than the ones in the law firms and corporate counsel I've spoken of. They're independent lawyers in small firms of their own creation, and they take the risk and do what I think the very important work of representing individuals and enforcing their rights. They represent the little people without money, and they enforce their rights. Since these lawyers do not have large corporate or firm backing, these lawyers to be successful requires a great deal of ability, because they're not getting any help or assistance from other associates and large numbers of paralegals. And they may not have a great deal of money. But on the other hand, these independent lawyers, in their of their firms of their own creation, they represent individuals, little people, without a great deal of money, who enforce their rights. Since these lawyers do not have large corporate or firm backing, for them to be successful requires a degree of ability. Since they're not getting any help from paralegals or associates, and they themselves may not have a great deal of money or power. But they're doing very important work. They're representing people who are individuals who may not be able to pay a lot of money. We need these lawyers, these independent lawyers, to represent little people without a great deal of money in their cases. We need these lawyers, and the world needs them. These other lawyers, such as Thurgood Marshall, they help bring about a better and more just society by taking on unpopular clients and unpopular causes. They're very important, actually, because they undertake to represent minor people without a great deal of money and possibly unpopular and unpopular in clients and unpopular causes. And maybe in representing these smaller people, they take the risk of creating a better and more just society. For every corporate lawyer and partner in a big law firm who got a lot of money and a lot of power, there's an individual practitioner who represents an indigent criminal. These lawyers seek to equalize the society and maybe provide a chance for people lacking funds to gain a foothold in the system they might not otherwise have. So they're doing very important work. They represent unpopular clients, unpopular causes. They seek to bring about a better and more just society. And they represent, maybe they may in times represent an indigent criminal. And their goal is to equalize the society and to give people a chance for people lacking in funds to get help and a foothold in the society. So I have to say, these people, these independent lawyers representing minor people, they're not minor people, they're people who don't have a great deal of money. They represent unpopular clients and unpopular causes. And they represent maybe an indigent criminal. But their goal is to equalize the society and maybe perhaps give a chance for people lacking in funds to gain a foothold in the system that may not otherwise have. The world system and world power structure are stacked against these independent lawyers. They represent interests in persons who most people would not like to admit are not only without funds or standing in the world, but quite frankly are really despised. They represent interests and persons in the world, unpopular causes, unpopular people, and represent the world power structure is stacked against these lawyers. They don't have a lot of money, but they have a lot of risk they're taking to represent people who need help. They represent interests in persons who most people would not like to admit are not only without funds or standing, but are mostly despised and viewed with contempt. No one likes to say this, and I hate to say it. It pains me to say it. But the world respects money and power and does not particularly give respect to those persons who are not in that system. The world desperately needs these independent lawyers who are willing to challenge traditions that should be changed and injustices that should be corrected. The world respects money and power and does not particularly give respect to those persons who are not in that system of society. The world system and the world power structure are stacked against these independent lawyers who represent interests in persons that most people would not like to admit are not only without funds or standing, but actually are mostly viewed with contempt. There was a time when women couldn't vote and African Americans had no rights, and no doubt at that time the society resisted these people having a place in the system. Those same power structures that resisted those groups gaining their rights resist different groups of people in different ways in today's world. There was a time when women couldn't vote, and it was corrected by lawyers, essentially. And African Americans had no rights, and lawyers corrected that situation, at least tried to correct it. Independent lawyers tried to make it better for these people, women and African Americans. No doubt at that time the society resisted these people, women, blacks, having a place in the system. And these same power structures that resisted those groups gaining their rights resist different groups of people in different ways, and the independent lawyers are the ones who are seeking to include more people in the system and to make our system fairer and juster. The only hope for persons lacking wealth and not having much of material goods or social standing is this group of independent lawyers who, by great effort and in the face of great resistance, stand up for people that with whom society declines to share. The only hope for disenfranchised persons lacking wealth, not having much of material goods or social standings, is this group of independent lawyers, and we need them desperately, who by great effort and in the face of great resistance stand up for people whom society declines to include and share. We need these independent lawyers because they make things better for all of us. These independent lawyers give those persons a chance they might not otherwise have and give a chance to people that they might never gain or dream of. They make it better. They make it fairer for people. And therefore, we need these lawyers, these independent lawyers, who don't have a great deal of money but have a great deal of character. The persons who have money may not get into medical school and make a lot of money, but if these persons I have just described get into medical school, the next step will be a cure for cancer. People who have money may get into medical school and make a lot of money, but if these persons I have just described, if they get into medical school, the next step, not having much money, but having some ability, the next step will be a cure for cancer or a vaccine for Alzheimer's. Lawyers who are unconnected with the world power structure can, in fact, bring about changes to society that might never happen. We need these lawyers. We need lawyers because they're the only hope for most of the world, and the world system wants to shut them out. We need independent lawyers desperately. We need lawyers because they are the only hope for most of the world that the world system wants to keep out and shut out. The world, China, is a slave society. Pakistan, the same. And India is the same. These societies are desperately in need of lawyers such as I described who could make it better for many, many millions of people if given the opportunity. They made it better in the United States, and hopefully in other parts of the world they can do the same. We need lawyers because we need these types of lawyers that are not just connected with money and power, but are connected with the risk to represent unpopular people and unpopular causes, and people without a great deal of money, but they are committed to giving them a chance in the society. I hope you've enjoyed this talk about why we need lawyers. I think we need them, and for the reason I indicated, and I hope that you will understand that and encourage lawyers to do what I just described. Thank you.